Dissolution by Stefan Molyneux. freedomain.com/donate. Chapter 22. Helen leaned forward, her head on the steering wheel. She could hear all the noise coming from inside the house, the farm, really, and had to compose herself to quell her rage.
"Kind of dramatic, hey, Mom?"
said Justin from the passenger seat. Samuel sat in the back. He always lost the shotgun battle, his white headphone cords snaking up through his long brown hair. Helen said nothing. Justin sighed and went back to scrolling his phone.
"Take your time. I'm in no hurry, that's for sure."
Helen took a series of deep breaths. Her heart was hammering in her chest. She tried to remember a day that she had not wanted to hammer and claw Justin's face. She had to go back a long, long way.
"Thanks, boys," she muttered.
She saw in the rearview mirror that Samuel knew she had said something, but decided not to take out his headphones. This was a choice everyone made in the family, every day. You heard something from another room or downstairs and asked someone to repeat it, and then mostly you just made vague noises and hoped it wasn't too important. Justin, in particular, had a terrible habit of muttering and then impatiently claiming that it just wasn't important if asked to repeat his words. Helen tried to give him some latitude because of Robert's sudden death. But that was quite a while ago by now, and... well, hell, kid, everyone loses their parents eventually. Stop gumming up the machinery with all this Hamlet muttering. Samuel had managed to hang on to his essential sweetness somehow, but paid a ferocious price from his brother and any higher status children at school that Justin had influence over, which was most of them. Samuel was never invited anyplace cool and had to hang out with the Dungeons and Dragons and theater kids. Justin snapped,
"Come on, Moother. Saddle up. The sooner we get in, the sooner we can get out."
Samuel's head bobbed along to his music. He never took out his headphones when his brother spoke.
"Okay," exhaled Helen. "Thanks."
She shook her head slightly, more of a shiver, and opened her door. Her sons behind her, Helen mounted the three moss-covered steps to the front porch. As she approached the door, it ripped open and a stream of screaming children came pouring out. Helen flinched, but they parted around her family with the precision of mountain goats. Her brother Derek charged out, growling and clawing at the air, a giant Viking helmet on his head. He had grown a short beard that was flecked with gray.
"Arr, pirate, time to eat the children," he cried.
"Oh, hey, Helen, we're just about given up on you."
"Yes, sorry, the traffic," she said thinly, but silenced herself at a snort from Justin. "We left late."
"Is there still food?" asked Justin. "Yeah, yes. Head on in and help yourself. We've done presents."
"Oh, right," said Helen.
She turned around to instruct Samuel to get them from the car, but he was already carrying them.
"Thanks."
She hugged her brother briefly.
"I can't believe you still have the energy."
Derek touched his forehead to hers.
"Oh, well, ever since I snuck that last one past the goalie, I've been a renewed man. Good to see you, sis."
He lifted his head and charged down the steps after the children, growling and scattering them like a rabid bowling ball. Rolling his eyes, Justin stalked past his mother and went into the house. Chloe and Derek's house was an ancient farm cottage on land that had been sold out and shrunk down to a little over 2 acres. It had settled so much over the decades that it was both terminally cozy and had a slight drunken Dr. Seuss air, since there were no strict right angles anywhere to be found. The front hallway snaked a little to the right, like a subway making a turn. The doorways had been painted and stripped so many times that they were halfway to becoming hobbit holes. The rooms were small, the windows
tight and the ceilings low. On the rare occasions that their kids visited Helen's house, they loved the size and air, but always looked forward to getting back to their lightless, cozy cubbies and watching the bees and hummingbirds flit through the ivy that grew past their windows. Chloe smiled happily as she came out of the kitchen. "Helen!" she cried, reaching forward for a hug, her hands hungrily opening and closing. Helen felt tears sting her eyes as she surrendered to Chloe's warm embrace. "Thanks for coming," murmured Chloe. "I know it's still hard." She pulled back and looked around. Samuel stood slightly awkwardly behind his mother. Justin had disappeared into the kitchen, doubtless in search of food.
"Samuel, my gosh, how are you? It's been an age."
"I'm well," said Samuel, blushing.
Chloe narrowed her eyes.
"Are you too big to hug? What's the protocol these days?
My kids never get away."
"I can." "Yes."
Samuel stepped forward. Chloe frowned, staring deeply into his eyes.
"Don't make me cry, Auntie," warned Samuel with a smile. I know your mother takes such good care of you, but her heart is on the mend, too. Are you okay?"
She shook her head slightly. "Sorry, dumb question. How are you? Just, how are you?"
"Pretty sad," said Samuel simply. "I'm stuck on side three of this old album called The Wall."
"Well, Pink Floyd is like permanent funeral music," sighed Chloe.
"I miss our talks. I know I'm busy, but you know the line is always open. I feel a bit odd chasing you. The last time we did anything was the Butterfly Conservatory."
"Wow.
And are you, is there any kind of female activity on the horizon?"
Samuel stared at her for a moment, then burst out laughing.
I've never heard it put quite that way before, like some storm cloud rolling in."
Chloe smiled, glancing at Helen for the briefest of moments.
"Well, women can be like that."
Helen smiled.
"We're so sorry for being late. Think nothing of it. Let's go get you settled. I'm sorry your parents couldn't make it.
They are going to cruise themselves into early graves." Chloe led them into the sitting room, where two babies cooed and played with wrapping paper on the floor, and a variety of adults sat around in extremely plush couches and armchairs. "You know John and Jean, of course." Chloe made introductions, then left to put on a pot of coffee. Samuel stood by the love seat, twining his fingers together behind his back. John leaned forward.
"How are you, kiddo?"
"Oh, you know, hanging in there."
Jean nodded slowly.
"Still such a shock."
John turned to Helen.
"And the finances are... the life insurance covers what you need?"
"Oh, yes, thanks. I've been thinking of getting back to work, circling back to my contacts. I even left a message with Peter."
"Peter? Robert's old boss?" whispered Jean, her eyes wide. John scowled.
"That bastard. That bastard who worked Robert into the grave. You..."
John glanced around and lowered his voice.
"You stay away from him. You hear me? You know, I warned Robert that Peter would be the death of him. Nights, weekends, all that travel. Dangling partner in front of him all the time. But that son of a bitch had some kind of hold over our Robbie. Something wrong. Unholy."
Jean leaned forward, reaching for Helen's hand. The other adults shuffled up and away, taking their babies, aware that deep feelings might soon be spilling over.
"Helen, you know that life is mostly just to be survived, right? We weren't harsh as parents, you know. I was too soft. John, perhaps, a little too hard. It's okay, dear. This is a world that just crept up on us, you know? We never really saw it coming. Everything is so different. The neighborhood is so different."
John put his palm on his wife's hand.
"Okay, dear, that's all right. It was nice of Chloe and Derek to invite us all here.
You missed quite a spread.
I'm sorry we're so late.
Helen lowered her voice.
Justin didn't want to come. The connection is just... Derek was Robert's best friend, of course, and he is godfather to Samuel. But that's just kind of a convention.
Jean gestured to Samuel.
Come on, sit down, let me see you. Are things any better with your brother?
Sure, sure,
said Samuel blankly, sliding down a giant cushion.
I mean, we move in different circles, but we get on in our own way.
Well, you take after your mother, said John decisively. Justin is all me.
Samuel grimaced. Jean softly punched John in the arm.
Don't say he's like his mother.
John smiled, baring his teeth.
Didn't I say that Shane always took after you?
And I don't know that that was the right thing either.
Well, at least he's still...
alive, was the unspoken word. It was somehow even worse that it was spoken only in the mind, not in the air. And the word was stopped. Without effort, without trailing off. The thought just terminated.
I was there last week,
said Jean in a deep, thrilling voice.
I put flowers at least twice a month. I always wonder if I'll see you there. Or Justin. Not you, Samuel. You can't drive alone yet.
I can't,
said Helen, her voice shaking. Jean folded Helen's hand in her own.
I know, I know. I knew him a lot longer than you did, dear. When he was just a wee thing. When he would sit in his crib and just wait for me to get up. So quiet. So serious. And so pretty. At least three people. No, four. Said he should be a model. As a baby, a toddler, and once in his teens. Now, looking at Justin Bieber, I shudder at what might have been. And smart? I swear he could have done jigsaw puzzles blindfolded by touch, you know. But cold, a little too distant. Not like my Shaney. Maybe a little like Justin. Hot and cold, my taps, I used to call them. But that's me and John here. But not unfeeling, loyal, to a fault. Once he decided he was on your team, he would give you the shirt off his back, as long as it wasn't one of those Hawaiian horrors he loved.
Her lower lip jutted out.
But he stuck by you, right, Helen? Never wandered. Stuck it out.
Helen's eyes narrowed.
Sorry, what do you mean by stuck it out? Oh, nothing bad, of course. I know you had your ups and downs. That's marriage. A marathon. Endurance, you know? Life. When you're young, you think that suffering is always just for others, like getting old. It will just part around you, pass you by. But it doesn't. Teeth and death and aging and bad backs and knees. John lost a knee because he took a bad hit in football, what, over 50 years ago? I had a horse step on my foot as a kid, and I have so much pain at times. Life just lies in wait for you, like a very slow trap. Bang, around you it goes. And Robert was happy. I mean, I think so.
Jean turned her anxious eyes on her husband.
Did he talk to you about that, his life?
He was happy, Jean.
Helen swallowed.
Of course he was.
Jean frowned.
He just... Do you remember those lines under his eyes? Oh, when he gained so much weight. And all those money worries. He kept a kind of line of credit with us, Helen. Did you know that?
What?
Oh, yes. His pay would go up and down, and everything was so expensive. He even was put on probation or something like that for, what, 3 months? Do I have that right?
John's mouth was a thin line.
Jean, dear, we don't have to talk about that.
No, it was 3 months. I remember because it was coming up to Christmas, and he kept looking for work, and he would come to us sometimes and need money. Peter finally saw the light and brought him back. But he wasn't the same after that, really. Had to do everything the big master wanted, like a surf, a coolie. Jump, jump, how high? I don't think he wanted to tell you, Helen. Did you not know anything about the finances? My husband is the accountant, but I know most of it. That's how we were raised.
John stood up abruptly. Jean, we really do have to go.
Stop telling me what to do, snapped Jean. Give it a rest. It's been almost 50 years.
John spread his hands helplessly. He pointed at his temple, then shrugged. Helen cleared her throat.
I should probably go get... Look for Justin. Make sure he leaves some food for Spring.
Jean caught at her arm.
Don't go, dearie. I'll be back. I'll...
Jean was staring at the fabric of Helen's blouse.
You always dress so beautifully. I could never...
She laughed suddenly.
I had a budget, you know, for the first 11 years of marriage. $35 a week. I used to buy clothing by the pound at the very place Shane works at. This must have cost a fortune.
Helen opened her mouth, then closed it again.
Oh, for God's sake, Granny, just say it,
barked Justin from the doorway, chewing loudly. Jean blinked.
Say what?
That good old greedy Helen worked Dad into an early grave.
There was a shocked silence. John's face darkened.
That's not what we... Oh, come on, sneered Justin.
He held up his hand and counted down his fingers.
She wanted the most expensive house, in the most expensive neighborhood, and the most expensive clothes. Just point your camera and ask. That blouse was like $300 back in the day. Not that she wears them for long. And new cars. And isn't it better to have the latest iPhone than a still-breathing husband, Mommy?
Justin.
Helen's voice was soft with horror. He leaned forward.
Remember all those vacations he couldn't make, Mom? Oh, he was just so buried at work, right?
He was broke, Mom.
Buried at work? Work buried him, Mom. And you held the fucking shovel.
Everyone's mouth was open. Chloe stood in the crooked doorway, carrying a tray holding a pot of coffee and various mugs.
Oh,
she exhaled. Justin turned to her, panting slightly, his cheeks flushed.
Hold off, said Chloe evenly.
She walked forward through the frozen tableau and put the tray down on the ottoman. She turned to Justin. There was an odd sense in the room that an actual adult had arrived and all empty foolishness would be dealt with. Helen's voice was still shaky.
You can't just unsay things, Justin.
Justin said,
I will only talk to Aunt Chloe.
Chloe nodded slowly. She took Justin by the elbow and led him through the silent house. Everyone waited in stillness, aware that the rare shark of truth had been dropped into the aquarium. In the backyard, under the chilled, darkening gray skies, Justin ran his fingers through his dark hair.
I feel like shit, he muttered.
I don't even want to be near the house,
said Chloe. Come on, let's walk the trails. They walked in strange lockstep down the lawn to the tangle of trees at the foot of the garden. After a minute of hunting, Chloe found a tangled path.
Wedge in here, it opens up in a sec. My neighbors keep warning me about hunting season, but I think we're good at the moment.
Wouldn't be so bad to catch a stray,
muttered Justin darkly. Under the canopy of twisted tree branches, they walked down faded ATV tracks, stumbling slightly.
These trees got kind of massacred, said Justin.
Bad ice storm, said Chloe, tucking her hair behind her ears.
So, what's going on, Justice?
Holy crap, I'd forgotten that nickname.
That was you as a kid. Damn, I thought you were going to be a lawyer for sure. Do you remember this? You had a mock trial to figure out who got those Raffy tickets?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd rather die than be like Dad, though.
The words hung in the air. Feet squished.
around random frozen puddles. What was it like for you and your dad, Justin, before he died? Justin let out a low whistle, then blew through his lips. What do you think?
I'd rather...
No, you know, that's a fair question. Chloe took a deep breath.
I never got the sense that you and Robert were close.
Or your mom.
You've always had this kind of like a cyst around your heart. You'd do anything for your friends, your peers, but not much for your family.
Justin's eyes widened and his head jerked back.
A cyst?
Sorry, that sounds terrible. Totally the wrong analogy. I'm really sorry. You have a big heart. I know that. It's sort of unmanaged, though, at times.
Justin nodded slowly.
It's an old story, totally cliched.
Oh, me and Dad were so close when we were younger, but as time went on, we just grew apart.
But it's kind of true. Justin's voice suddenly caught in his throat.
Do you ever, like, have a day you wish you could go back and start all over? Like you took a wrong step and just thought, ah, no worries, I'll turn back in a bit. But that step, those steps, just kept on coming, and you look up in a totally different land with people who don't speak your language, and you're on your own.
Yeah,
said Chloe softly, remembering that day, decades before, when Robert dumped her for Helen.
Sometimes those steps are for the best, though.
Like, I had a game of Monopoly with my dad that lasted for 2 weeks, I think. It was just for us. And I invited Mom and Sammy to join us near the end. It was me and Mom versus Dad and... Man, we had fun. Lame and goofy, but...
He took a deep breath.
I sometimes think that I would like to slow time towards the end of that game. I have these pictures in my head. Everyone laughing and whooping. I'd like to stay there, I guess. Things didn't get better after that. And we never had another day like that again. Like ever. Why not? Why have that kind of fun if it's never coming again?
There was a long moment of silence.
What? Nothing to say?
Asked Justin, slightly peevishly.
I don't...
Chloe touched her collarbone.
That hit me in the feels. Yeah, that... My dad and I, we get along pretty well. He's pretty great. But I have that kind of thing, too. Like, he... We used to go river walking and catching minnows and crayfish, and we went maybe 20 times. And yeah, there is a time, which is the last time, but you never know that at the time. You just think that life is what it is, but life is about losing old things and getting new things. And we like the new things, but we never really remember to mourn the old things that are lost. Like you have that Monopoly set in the house somewhere with everyone's fingerprints on it. Maybe even the atoms are still vibrating from laughter years ago. And we have this new window, these endless videos and pictures that keep people alive, like they never stay in the grave because we can summon them back to life with thumb swipes.
It sucks to peak early, murmured Justin. There was another moment of silence.
But that tongue of yours,
said Chloe eventually.
Yeah.
More silence.
I never knew when you last saw your dad or talked to him.
Oh, fuck. Sorry. Yeah, that blows. He found some vaping shit and got all pissy. Oh, your health, son. Like his fat ass could talk to me about.
Justin took a deep breath, dropping his caustic tone.
I'm so going to hell. I mean...
Are your parents happy, Aunt Chloe?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Content.
I can't imagine, but that's such a different time of life.
My parents weren't happy. I mean, your heart should fucking sing when your husband sails in the room. I'm I'm not cynical about that. Fly into each other's arms, grab arsery all around. I'm a total fan. But they were just tense with each other, like some stupid dance of dominance. Who's right? Who's wrong? Who cares? What's the fucking prize at the end of all that? Wrinkles and a fucking urn, that's what.
Chloe glanced over and saw a tear rolling down Justin's golden sunset-lit cheek. He wiped it away, angrily.
I can't stand waste, you know. Even Samuel with his stupid video games. Biggest lesson my dad gave was when he wasn't there. Life is short. You got it right. Make babies, live big-hearted. You're like the most real person around.
Thank you.
And I'm not easy. I know that. I do. You're right. I do save my best side for my friends.
Mom irritates me.
Go on, Chloe smiled.
This is a safe space. Oh, you just want dirt on your old rival? Come on, I know all about it. Mom keeps secrets like a sieve.
You won, quaint auntie, in the end.
Derek is a great guy. Your kids love you. But you stayed with them, right? Where did I go? It's stupid daycare where I was just attacked for being of the less dancing persuasion, you know?
My best friend, I still remember his name, Ralph, just woke up one day dead, some congenital heart thing, right? No one even knew. No one asked. Did you say anything?
Fuck. I hate imposing. Like grandma, she just corners you and talks your ears into atoms. I'm not going crying to mom and dad and get all weepy and ask all about death. They don't...
His voice caught again.
They don't... They only notice my moods when they're shitty. Like mom absolutely refuses to get maintenance on the car. She never drops it off. She just bitches when it doesn't start. She never thinks of the car until it doesn't work. I think she has an eating disorder and it can't see beyond herself. Samuel just erases himself because she doesn't see him.
Justin's breath was coming short.
And you?
Stop probing. I'm begging you. Just have some kind of opinion. My therapist just and nothing ever gets said.
Well, if I talk frankly, when I was younger, I had a friend who, she wanted to know what I thought of her boyfriend, and I said he could be kind of aggressive at times.
Then later, she was fighting with him, and she said, and you know who else thinks you're a total asshole? Chloe, that's who.
And I spent like a week thinking I should call them up and set him straight, but I just never did. It all faded away. And later, he dumped an entire can of garbage on her head.
You think I'll use what you say against mom?
I'd hate for you to get... to have your loyalties tested in that way.
Justin's voice was soft.
I'm almost out, though. But those ties last a lifetime.
When I was like 12, I built a treehouse just to...
Holy crap, like one night my mom and dad both fell asleep on the couch. And I'm like always hungry, so I come down for cereal. And
Justin shuddered.
They both had their eyes open. Dad was snoring. And I went up to them. It was like some horror movie. Their eyes were open, but they were asleep. And it was all lights on, nobody home. Nothing was in there. Just everything they said is just so predictable. I don't know what you're going to say. Do you know how refreshing that is? They were just empty robots.
Justin's voice lowered again. Nothing of value was lost. He's gone, but I'm totally strict with myself about this stuff because I hate waste. Everyone asks me, well, they did, like, how am I doing? How am I handling the loss? And I, like, am I the only honest person in the world? Because when I was home, like after school and just chilling, reading or listening to music, and I heard the garage door open because one of them came home, I didn't, God help me, I didn't like it. I didn't want to talk to them. Just NPC shit about homework and responsibility and don't do drugs, kiddo. Nothing surprising. And maybe I'm some ADHD thrill junkie, but I need some stimulation in a conversation, right? It's like these subtitles came up with their words. I could almost see them in my mind before they even spoke. Distracted, automatic robots. What do you think? It breaks my heart that you don't miss your dad.
I tried this test not too long ago. I fed his emails and texts into an experimental AI and had a conversation that was like exactly the same as when he was alive, or pretended to be. Chloe exhaled sharply.
Oh, man, the things you say. I'm not. You might not be wrong, but it's like a horse hoof to the chest. Do you know that?
I know.
But man, I see what happens when people just lie.
For what?
For attention?
Money?
Mom loves attention, but she's starving to death right now. She's talking to this total crypt keeper because he's rich as fuck.
And money? Your dad made bank, sure, but so what? They were always on the edge.
Just a slave with golden chains, just stupid shit.
But you can't just live in reaction.
Justin stopped and turned to look at her, his face unreadable.
Why not?
It's not authentic,
hippie word.
But hey, what if what you're reacting to is inauthenticity?
Chloe laughed faintly. That's too complicated for me. She looked around. This is the end here. We call this the leech pond because that's the only life we've ever found here.